You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Open your Bibles, Isaiah 27, and I want to deal a few minutes on a thought this morning. Now listen to me, we are going to have communion today, and I'm believing God for something real. I want us to hear what I'm preaching today. I've talked about Python. How many of y'all remember when I preached on the spirit of Python, right? Okay, we preached on Python, but today I want to take another spirit that's an entity that you work against, and I want you to listen very closely to Pastor today. I believe you can cast the devil out of anybody. And I believe you can cast out any devil almost. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna get down to where you live in today. And let me say this to help some folk. I really get weary of preachers that know the three lists of sins in the Bible. They know how to take you to 2 Corinthians 9:6, and they can tell you the whole list of sins, what you cannot do. Right? They can take you to Galatians chapter 5, and they can point out verses 18 and 19, all the sins you're not supposed to do. Right? And then they can go to Revelation chapter 21 and give you all those that aren't going to enter into heaven. And I want to say this. We as church people get to looking at what you're doing instead of who you are. And a lot of times we're judging you by your outside guy, where you're going and what you're doing. I'm not encouraging you to drink, to smoke, to beat people up or to murder. I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying this. There's more to your life than what we see. And I think for too long we've preached on what we saw. And we tried to make you look like something. And here's what I found out. You can, I hate to say it this way, but you can put a bow on a pig and it's still a pig. You can put lipsticks on a sow, she'll still go to the mud. And all I'm going to tell you is you can grow your hair out, put it in a bun, wear long dresses. You guys can have a high and tight haircut. You can walk right and spit white. You can look good on the outside and go to hell on the inside. I'm just saying that liars and gossipers have the same place in the lake of fire as the adulterer and the homosexual. You ain't got to agree with me because I know I'm right. And what we do, we go on the stuff that's seen. And I want to deal with one of these demonic principles today. It's called Leviathan. And if you look in Isaiah 27:1, you're going to find Leviathan. You'll also be able to, because it's only mentioned four times in your Bible. It's mentioned there. It's mentioned in Psalm 74. It's mentioned in Job 3. And it's mentioned a whole chapter given to Leviathan in Job 41. And we'll go there in just a moment. But I want to say this to you. I want you to hear, Pastor, really clear. You can't cast out Leviathan. You are in a war with God against Leviathan. Listen to me. I will show you today that Leviathan was in the garden. Leviathan killed the first man. Leviathan is the one that caused David to go to Bathsheba. I will show you that Leviathan was in the New Testament in Saul's heart killing the church, and he will be the last thing destroyed in the book of Revelation. You are in a warfare that will last as long as you live and breathe on this earth. So if somebody comes and tells you, I'm just going to cast that spirit of pride out of you. Look at me and tell you something, baby. You ain't casting the spirit of pride anywhere. The spirit of pride in your Bible. See, some of y'all look at me like, I ain't proud. Look at how I'm dressed. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Pride affects the poor just like it does the rich. There are poor folk that are just as full of pride as someone that's rich. And we look at the rich and say, look how they're so prideful. There are poor folk that are prideful. I'm just saying. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. The spirit of pride is one of those demonic principalities that's going to be there. And under it, it has all kinds of things. Pride will also bring death. It will bring sexual immorality. Pride will work through a lot of areas. It'll bring murder. It'll bring suicide. Even in suicide, pride makes that person feel like that they're the one that has the answer. And if they just do one thing to themselves, it'll make everybody happy. That's pride right there. I'm just helping you right now more than you amen at me, but you're not going to cast out pride. Pride is something you've got to deal with, and the only way you move pride back is by submitting yourself to God. James says in chapter 4, if I will submit myself to God, then I am resisting the devil. He will flee from me. And the Bible says in that same chapter 4, he says, if I will submit to him, then the devil will be resisted and run. If I'm submitted to God and I go for God, the Bible says if I reach out to him, then he'll reach out to me. And all I'm saying is this, if you've got a problem with pride, and we'll find out whether you do or not today, you're not going to get rid of it because I anoint your head and cast it out. He ain't going because I say go. He's going to go because you do something. Listen to me. It would be real easy if I told you all we got to do is anoint you and pray for you. Everybody in here would run up and get prayed for. The rubber meets the road, if so to speak, is when you find out that we can't cast that devil out. Because that's a principality. He is set up. The only way that he's going to leave is when I change something. He's not going to go till I humble myself. Amen. When I can humble myself before God, then that demon cannot infect me, but he will be there. Let me give you some thought. Well, look in Isaiah. You in Isaiah already? Look in Isaiah 27, and I want you to see this. Isaiah 27, verse number 1. Then we're going to run over to Job chapter 41. Listen to this. In that day, the Lord, with his severe sword. Look at who it is now. It is the Lord with his severe sword will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. Why is he called the fleeing serpent? Because when he's resisted, he flees from you. Leviathan, watch this, that twisted serpent. I want you to underline fleeing, and I want you to underline twisted, because twisted is a word that you need to get. It's used in your Bible for people that do something to the Word of God. It is what Satan did to Eve and to Adam whenever he said, did God really say that? What he did was twisted the word. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 25, you don't have to go there, but if you read 7:25, you'll see that in the last days, the devil wants to do two things. He wants to change time, and he wants to twist the word. He wants to change the law. Now, I'm not going to go to seed on this and be ugly about it, but I'm going to just throw this out to you. That's one of the problems you deal with when you deal with the area of homosexuality. Listen to me. Look at me. Let me tell you something. I am not against homosexuals in the sense of that's what they call themselves. The problem is not they're homosexual. The problem is they're practicing the sin of homosexuality. In that regard, I love that person. All right? What you've done, if you believe that God made them a homosexual, then you got to leave them alone and love them like they are. But if you believe that God made a man and a woman, and it took something else to affect, and it wasn't about their genes, it was about their thought process that caused them to desire or look to the other sex, I'm just going to tell you right now, your problem there is against the demonic force of lust. And you can lust against a heterosexual. It can lust against homosexuality. Lust doesn't care what it looks like. Let me back up and say it another way for some of you guys that think you can get by with pornography, just to say pornography never ends heterosexually. Never. Now, you're going to say, how do you know? Because I've looked at pornography. I've been there, done that. Wouldn't you like for me to get up here and say that? I never looked at it. Oh, I did. I'll tell you a couple things. It's addictive. And I'll tell you something else. It never ends heterosexually. It will always take you to homosexuality. And you got to ask yourself why. And I'm just telling you right now, homosexuality is a sin. Those people were created right the first time. It's sin that we're dealing with. And therefore, the church has got to love the homosexual in the sense of who's named. Making sense to you? Here's the other thing. There is not a place. And this is where the twist comes in, is the idea if God loves everybody, then he loves me, then I can go attend your church and be a member of your church. Look at me, let me tell you something. He loves all the sinners, but you ain't going to be a member of this church as a sinner. And if you're openly practicing sin, our hands are tied on letting you become a part. We had a guy call us last week, and he was wanting to sell us something for he wanted to sell us some OSHA and some other Some of the workers writes things so we could put posters up around saying that we abided by OSHA regulations and that we were equal opportunity employers. Now, this dude is in California, and he's talking to me. Charlie gave me the phone. So, right? Charlie said, I'm done. I can't do it. Here, take the senior pastor. He said, you got to be an equal opportunity, and it's going to cost you $280 to buy these posters, and we'll send them to you and put them. I said, wait just a minute, dude. I said, I'm not an equal opportunist. I don't hire everybody. He said, oh. I said, no. The sinners aren't going to get hired up in here. It's not going to be a part of my staff. I mean, I don't have to have that poster because it's not who I am. I said, where are you from anyway? I said, you need to be here sitting in front of me, not calling me on the phone anyhow. He said, California. I said, well, there you go. Just saying. I just said no. Here's what I want you to see. This Leviathan is an animal, a reptile, that twists. It will twist. The other thing about it, now I want you, if you don't mind, read the very last of this. It says, the last part of that verse, it says, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. Now I want you to notice something. This reptile likes water. Oh, I'm about to get down to where we live. Now, some of you guys are in this house today because you had a problem where you were. I don't want you to leave and go back there. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're bad blood in this house. Here's what I am telling you, that the enemy hates the anointing and he hates church. The reason that there are problems and fights in a church is because there's a devil loose, not because people are mean. It's because we walk in pride. If a preacher walks in pride, he can't be corrected. Nobody can talk to him about his stupidness. He just goes on being stupid and expects to be accepted. If I'm humble, I will find out that if I'm out to eat with Tim and Tim says, Mike, I just want to tell you there's an issue that I saw in you and I'm a little concerned about it and I love you and I'm not telling anybody. I just like to pray with you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A humble man is the one that's going to say, man, I am so sorry. I want you to pray for me. I understand. I see it. You understand what I'm saying? I like what A.W. Tozier said. He says it this way. He says, I do not trust a Christian leader that doesn't limp. If you've never had the experience that Jacob had facing God, who was a liar, and God had to touch him, and it broke down his flesh, that the rest of his life, he would limp because of it. I'm going to say, well, he got a limp. Isn't that bad? No, he got a name change from Jacob, the liar and supplanter, unto Israel, the prince of God, and the limp didn't stop him. And here's what I'm saying. I agree with Tozier. If I can't be plain with you, if you can't know who I am, then you don't need to respect me. It doesn't take pastor in front of my name to be respected. So Leviathan is the one, and he's in the water. What some of us think is, if we get enough anointing in this house, if we get enough of the power of God up in here, if we could just get in the revival river, then Satan wouldn't have a prayer. Look at me, let me tell you something, baby. That's where he lives. He doesn't leave because there's an anointing flowing. He shows up. Now, he's called a serpent. The best description we find, I'm already in Job 41. Y'all better hurry if you're going to be with me. But I'm just saying, his description is not one of a snake. It's more one of an alligator. It had legs on it. It was able to move itself around. And it lived in the water. It lived in the sea, and it lived in the rivers. I'm going to tell you, there is an alligator, a crocodile that does that, and it's found in Australia. It grows to be about 25 feet long. It can live in salt water, brackish water, either way, fresh water. You see what I'm talking about? Exactly. We got this issue with this alligator. Now, do you remember whenever Satan was in the form of a serpent? Now, Jesus talks about him in the book of Revelation and says, I'm going to cast that old serpent, the devil, Satan, I'm casting him in the lake of fire. Back in the beginning, he was called the serpent. Do you remember when the Lord was speaking and said the woman's going to have to suffer in childbearing and the man's going to have to work by the sweat of the brow? That helps some of y'all. that you got to work by the sweat of your brow. And then he said something to the serpent. He said, and from this day forward, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust. Someone help you right now. I believe that was what he's talking about here. It was that being. It was that image, if you would. Now, some of us that have lived in Louisiana or in South Alabama, we know a little bit about alligators. For those of you all that don't, how many's ever watched Alligator Hunters with whatever the crew's name is, you know, Troy and all those guys? Shoot him, Troy. Just notice one thing about it. Notice one thing in your brain, see if you can pull this back. Anytime they caught him and pulled the hook, anytime the hook was set, what did that alligator do? Yes, he did. Listen, he didn't back up and run. He started doing what? He starts twisting. How many's ever seen, and they'll have it on some of the geographic channels from time to time, they'll show you about those crocodiles and alligators over like the Nile crocodile. They'll show you how it works when the animals come through, right? And the wildebeest come in, and they're going along there. The show says this. It says when the wildebeest knows he's there, yet they got a cross. The wildebeest is just dumb somewhere right in there. They know it's there, but there's something in them says it got a cross. Helping you better than amening. When you know the devil is in something, baby, don't go there. I mean, don't go because you got a lust. Don't go because you've got a desire. Don't go because somebody asked you to go. Just say no. If you see the devil's there, don't get in there. He may not jump you the first time you cross. Oh, you got to watch it, because he'll let 5, 6, 8, 10, 15, 20 of them walk by before he grabs one. I'm just helping you on this. There are people that are living in sin right now, living in adultery right now, living in homosexuality right now, living in lying and deceit right now, that's what their life is, and they think they're okay because nothing bad has happened yet. Here's all I'm saying. There is a devil loose. There is a Leviathan. He dwells in the waters. And if you ever watch him, just his eyes show. Everything else is hidden. Let me give you this, because I know we're in a rush. Let me give you this anyhow. Let me give you four of the tendencies or the characteristics of Leviathan. The one of them is he's formidable. Formidable. That means you ain't going to beat him. See, right now, that makes some of y'all uneasy. But I'm going to say right now, that devil ain't leaving unless you submit to God. If you could cast him out, you'd be proud about it. And he'd be right back, seven times worse. Do y'all understand God knows what's going on? He is formidable. He is hidden. He doesn't just show up. That's what people don't understand. How could our church bust up in the middle of a revival? That's when the devil attacks. Listen to me. He will lay off of you as long as you're dead and slumbering and dragging up in here and just getting a little bit to go along, to get along, and you leave out of here. The devil can sit in that all day long. But you get an anointing of the Holy Ghost in a church service. You get an altar call where people are getting saved or being delivered, and he'll show up with pride. He comes to that. So he stays hidden. He's formidable. He stays hidden. The other thing that he does is he twists. He twists. He won't let the anointing come forth or the word of God come forth without twisting it somehow or other. Let me give you one more thing about him. He will not make covenant. We'll see that in Job 41. He won't make covenant. Can I help you on your marriage and why you get a divorce? Well, I did because they committed adultery. Can I tell you why they did it? Well, they were full of lust. Can I tell you how they were full of lust? Because of pride. Because of pride. Stubbornness is the number one home wrecker. And it's fueled by pride. I want what I want, the way I want it, when I want it and I deserve it, it's pride. And it happens. So some of y'all looking at me and saying, you mean I'm in a marriage right now and I've been married one time, two times, three times, four times. I don't care how many times you've been married. They say that it gets worse as you go to the next marriage, next level. I don't know that. I'm just saying that's what statistics say, that the more times you're married, the less percentage you have of staying married to that person. So with all of that being understood, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can keep pride out of the marriage, you can save a marriage. You can keep it together if you can keep pride out of it. When someone is out in the world and they've left a husband or a wife and they say, everybody hates me, that's pride. Because now it's all about you. Well, look at me, let me tell you something. It's all about you when you left. It's all about you when you were thinking about leaving. See, all you divorce folk are trying to process that real quick. Let me help you. Process it all you want to, and you'll find pride at the bottom of it. It's the one thing you couldn't cast out of your marriage. It doesn't want to be committed. It doesn't want a covenant. It doesn't want to do a forever issue. And that's another issue, even on jobs and work. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm going to go ahead and hit it while I'm there. I'm trying to get it off my heart, not off my chest. There's a difference, you know. People that can't keep a job or won't keep a job, just won't keep a job. Maybe it's not because they got fired. It's because they won't keep a job. Look at me. Let me tell you something. You are full of pride. No, it's a poverty mentality. No, it's a Leviathan. And that person is not going to commit to a job. They're not going to stay at the job. And as soon as they get it for about a month or two, they're going to quit it and try to go somewhere else. There are people in the last 12 months that's had that many jobs. Now, you're going to look at me and say, I know, right? You're going to look at me and say, I just can't understand how they do that. I can tell you exactly how. They don't know how to make a covenant with the person they're with. They don't know how to make a covenant at that job. They don't know how to sit down and say, I'm committed here. I'm going to stay with it. And some of y'all looking at me, and I'm going to help you right now. That's pride, and that is demonic, and it is just as bad as anything else operating, and it is the one thing we can't cast out of you. It's the one thing you're going to have to humble yourself. When you go to work, y'all, you had to humble yourself to get up in the morning. You humble yourself to show up. You humble yourself to take orders. It's a humility issue. If you own the business, you've got to humble yourself to sell it. You've got to humble yourself. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you let pride come in, you will be uncommitted. Just saying. Let me give you an axiom of truth. It's better to be forewarned than you're forearmed. It's better to be forewarned because then you're forearmed. And I'm putting some weapons up in your hands today. You're getting a warning today. Well, I've given you the four things. He's formidable, he's hidden, he won't make a covenant, and he twists. Look real quick here at a couple things. Look in Job 41, if you don't mind. Now, God is asking rhetorical questions, the answer to which are no. So here's his question. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or a snare in his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Let me stop right here and say something. This devil ain't trying to plead with you. In the New Testament, you find devils pleading with Jesus. Don't cast me out. Have you come to destroy? Let me tell you something about pride. Pride didn't ever plead with him. Pride wasn't pleading because it wasn't about how I could cast him out. It was who was having him in. And I'm going to tell you something else. There were some things that Jesus could not do. One of them, he said this. He said, you're not going to do many mighty works there. The Bible says, because of their unbelief, except a few sick folk got healed, but the ones that really had a problem didn't get a deliverance. And that's Jesus on the earth. Excuse me just a minute. There are some things you can't do, but mom and daddy, son and daughter, you can do it if you make up your mind about letting go of pride and submitting yourself to God. Wouldn't that be novel? I'm going to tell you, marriage counselor, something. You'll butt your head against the wall, Jesus will come, and those people will still not submit one to another. We say it in front of the church when we get people married, that woman got to, you know, submit all the days, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. That's all a waste of words right there. Unless that person can get pride out of their life. Because there's not going to be any submitting. Y'all don't have to see right there. there's not going to be any submitting, and you can't coach it into people, and you can't train it into people, and you can't teach it into people. You got to make up your mind where you're sitting this morning that I am going to submit myself to God. If you submit yourself to God, you'll submit yourself to your job. You'll submit yourself to your church. You'll submit yourself to your wife or husband. You'll submit yourself to your children. Just saying, if you ever get submitted to God, submission is never a law. Amen. Go ahead and give the Lord a clap offering. We need one right now. Quickly, look at this. Here's what it says. He says this, and the answer is no to these. Will he speak softly to you? No. Pride is arrogant. Will he make a covenant with you? No. Will you take him as a servant forever? No. You're not going to make him. You're not making him bow down. Will you play with him as with a bird, or a leash for him, like your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet for him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Let me help right now. You can't be a friend of pride. You can't make it a friend. If you do, it will come back to bite you. Can you fill his skin with harpoons, his head with fishing spears, and lay your hand on him? The answer is no. It's not about us trying to cast him out of somebody. It's about somebody humbling themselves before God. And that pushes him away. When God is in authority, when you've bowed yourself before God, when you've gotten off the throne of your life and allowed the Lord to sit there, pride can't stay in that. He can sit in the anointing of a service, but he can't stay in a place where there's submission. This is why Psalm 133 is important to us, that unity is like the anointing. Look at me, let me tell you something. I'm going to use some double negatives and ain't. Y'all okay with that? Ain't gonna be no anointing without unity. Said another way, ain't gonna be no anointing without unity. I know you ain't. I know it's in the sentence of the double negatives. I understand what I'm doing. I'm just saying this to you for emphasis. You're not gonna have the anointing without unity. The Bible says this, unity brings that anointing, and it begins to flow down your head. It goes down the beard, down to the bottom of your garments. Can I tell you something else? It's not just you. You got to be in unity with me. It's me humbling myself to find unity with you. A pastor is not, look at me, folk. The preacher, the man of God, the prophet, the elder, we're not the ones that are trying to covenant you up. It's all of us together. I got to make up my mind that I humble myself in front of you, that I don't get in front of you and act like I'm something, you're not anything. I don't get in front of you and tell you that you're just sorry and you're a sinner without saying I've been there or I am there. Because the devil will twist it and you'll worship the man more than the maker. Here's another one. Lay your hand on him and remember the battle and never do it again. I'm going to cast him out. How many of y'all remember in the New Testament there is a verse that says, don't bring railing accusations against Satan. Just tell him the Lord rebuke you. Anybody ever read that? Can I help you? That's where it comes in right there. It's not about making railing accusations and telling how bad pride is. It's about saying, I understand this is a pride issue, and I'm going to submit myself to God, and God, you can rebuke this. You take care of this one, because pride is not something I can get rid of. Amen? Look at me, let me tell you something. As soon as you can get rid of pride, you'll be proud about it. And if you get humble and then you're proud, you're humble, you ain't. I'm just saying, there's a reality here, and here's my problem with it. As a pastor, and I think as a church, we want the anointing of the Holy Spirit in this room. We want to preach and see God do something. We want to pray and know people are being set free. We want to believe for people to be healed and delivered when they come in this house. We want the love of God multiplied by the Holy Spirit when people come in here. And I'm going to say this to you, that will not continue to happen if there's pride operating in the room. And that means we got to make up our mind that we're not going to be that. Here's what the Bible says. It says you need to not do that again. In other words, you're not going to fight him out. Listen to this one. And no one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Write this down, Job 3:8. If you put a curse on somebody, if you curse somebody instead of bless them, you're stirring up Leviathan. Do I need to break that down? You can't be talking about somebody and gutting them. All of my men know what I'm talking about. All of you lady hunters know what I'm talking about. You can't be gutting somebody and praying for them at the same time. You can't gut them in front of all of us and tell us it's a prayer request and what you're doing is talking bad about them. Let me just say it another way. You can't be talking bad about somebody and laying your hands on them and pray for them to be delivered. I'm going to tell you why. Because when you curse them, you stir up Leviathan according to Job 3:8. So with a curse comes Leviathan, pride. Watch this. If I'm talking about them, it's pride on my side. I'm helping some of y'all because you're full of pride. Because you've been talking about everybody and their brother. And wondering why hell is breaking loose. I can help you real quick. You're stirring up a devil. Every time you're talking about them and gossiping and lying and giving a prayer request as you air their dirty laundry, you got a big old stick and you're poking one of the most vile beings that God has ever let loose. I mean, the Kraken is loose if you stir him up. Are y'all catching it yet? I want you to see that some of you all, I'm not okaying that you're drinking or that you're fornicating. I'm not saying that, but I am going to say this, that some of us need to understand that the sin of pride will get you in hell just as quick as the other. As a matter of fact, it's very clear in your Bible, I don't care how much you speak in tongues, that pride goes before your fall. Amen. Look at me. By the time you start fornicating or killing, you already priding. Does that make any sense to y'all yet? All right, I'm about to get done. Let's look at a couple more things if you don't mind. Here's what the Bible says also. And this, Paul quotes this in Romans 11, 14, and 15. And it says this, it's in verse number 11. Who has preceded me, God says, that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I'm going to stop right there and tell you something. Paul repeats that in Romans 11. Everything belongs to God. Now, you're going to look at me and say, if it's all God's, why has he let that devil loose? The devil been loose from the beginning. The devil has been loose. He didn't just let him go. And God has a plan. The plan is me submitting to God that keeps pride under my feet. If I'm going to walk on pride and walk in victory, I've got to keep myself humble before God. Look at me, baby. That's 24/7, 365. Anybody can church. Anybody can come from Sunday morning. But I've got to walk in humility. That means I got to be somebody on Monday morning and Tuesday morning. If you want to cast out a devil, you might want to get a grip on this understanding of humility. Amen. Let me go to real quick to a couple more places and I'll dwindle to a close. Verse number 16 says it this way. Well, here's verse number 15 says this. It says his rows of scales are his pride. And they're shut up tightly as a seal. I'm going to tell you about people of pride. They stick together. Let's go another one down here to 16. It says, number 16 says, and one is so near another, these scales, that no air can come between them. This thing doesn't like, I mean, it'll swim in the water, but it doesn't like the pneuma. It doesn't like the ruach. It doesn't like the breath of God. It doesn't like the power of the Spirit. This thing stays close to that. It'll come up and swim in that anointing. Your Bible already tells you that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The psalmist David said there is a river that makes glad the city of God. The river is us. It's the anointing flowing out of us, and pride will get in that. We've got to make up our mind about that. Pride does not want the Holy Ghost moving, because if the Holy Ghost moves on you, you will not be condemned. You'll be convicted and you'll change. If you're condemned, you'll bow up and leave. Oh, I know I'm right. You get to throwing a man down, disrespecting him, he ain't going to be your best friend. I don't know about you girls. I know about us. Amen. You can't come up there and be putting me down and expect me to jump up and be your friend. But if you come up to me and give me some conviction, I love you, you're a friend of mine, there's an issue I've seen, I just want to help you and love you, nobody else is going to know but me and you, I'm going to tell you I can work with that. But you come up condemning me, I'm done with you. Let me give you the last verse and then we'll shut up for real. Look at the last verse, because some of y'all been looking at me kind of sideways anyhow. He beholds, watch him, here he is. He beholds everything. He is king over all. Who's he king over? Y'all tell me. He beholds everything, and he is king over all the what? Children of pride. You know what Jesus said? You can't serve two masters. You're going to reject the one and accept the other. I'll reject that one and accept the other. I'm just saying right now, this is where pride is. I don't have to go to the New Testament with you. We could go there, but let me give you at least four things you need to do if you don't mind. One of them is you need to repent. Amen. I need to change the way I'm going. I need to repent. I also need to humble myself. I need to pray for my eyes to be opened, and I need to forgive. If I want to keep pride out of my life, I've got to do at least four things. Humble myself. I need to repent. I need to pray that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened so I won't be fighting the preacher when he's trying to help me. And then I need to forgive. Forgiveness is not saying you're wrong. You can forgive people when you're right. I'm going to tell you something else about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't being your best friend to them again. There are people right now I forgive, but they ain't my best buddy. We're not going to sit up late at night and drink iced tea together. We're just not going to be there because they're not my friends. But I forgive them. I've been down the road with them, and I'm the one bound, not them. If I keep thinking about it, I'm the one that's bearing the scars. So I just say I'm done with that. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. You're done. Let me tell you something else. Don't go and tell them. Let me help you on something. I hate it. I just hate it. I shouldn't say it, but I say it. I just hate it when people come up to me, and they've done it through the years. How many of y'all know I have offended people? Everybody ought to raise your hand if you know me. I have offended people. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit about this. Leviathan works between me and you. He's in this room. And he works as a grate of understanding. So things I say are going to be perceived by how you understand them on that side of the grate. And he's in the middle trying to put a twist on everything that's said. When I say something about homosexuality, we had a family leave our church. They left our church because I said that they were queers instead of homosexuals because I didn't use the right verbiage. Because they had a child that was a homosexual. Well, I didn't mean to hurt their feelings. I didn't realize as a redneck that queer was any worse or better than homosexual. I wasn't current with culture. So they get their panties in a twist and leave. I didn't know what I did. I own it. I did it. I didn't know what I was doing, but they took it with a twist on it, and they couldn't make it right. I made a man so mad at me one time, he wanted to be a Sunday school superintendent, and I didn't pick him, and he got mad, and he came to me on one day, a Saturday maybe, and got me in his car, going to sit me down, talk to me, and I said, all right. And he is principal of the school in that little town. And he said, I have more education. And he went down this whole list of how he ought to have been the Sunday school superintendent. He said, and not only that, for the last 6 weeks, I've brought Kentucky Fried Chicken to your house every Saturday. I said, dude, I ain't that cheap. All right. You're going to offend people if you do what I do. There's going to be a twist. There's going to be an offense in there. And here's what I'm saying. If you come to me, don't do this. One thing I was going to tell you that I hate is come up and say, I forgive you. And I say, for what? Well, it doesn't matter. Just know that I forgive you. I'm thinking, just a minute here. I can't tell you you're forgiven if I don't know what I did. And church people are the worst. I'm forgiving you. Listen, don't go up to people and say, I forgive you, brother. I forgive you, sister. Listen, just don't do it unless you're willing to tell them what it was. And generally the reason you don't want to tell them is because it's too childish anyhow. Let's all stand if you would. Oh, Jesus. I wish I could give an altar call this morning so we could lay hands on you and anoint you with oil, and you would say, man, I've been dealing with that devil. I've been dealing with that Leviathan. I've been dealing with that. It's twisted the word. Let me help you on this. There are people that are living for the devil, although they want to live for God, and it's because the devil's twisted the word on you. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says it this way, and it uses the word twist. He said, many have taken Paul's teaching on grace and twisted it so they can sin. Look at me, y'all. I'm a grace person. But you can't be saved and fornicate at the same time. Yeah, but I'm under grace and grace is covered. Look at me, let me tell you something. Grace, according to Titus, you want some scripture on it. According to Titus 2, 11, and 12, your Bible says, and the grace whereby we have been saved, that grace, the grace whereby we've been saved also teaches us to deny ungodliness and walk circumspectly before God. Well, I thought legalism taught that. No, grace teaches it. But somebody's twisted the message. So when you hear something about sin, you think, well, that's legalism. No, that's grace. Grace teaches you to deny ungodliness. The grace you want is so you can do what you want and go to heaven. And that's pride. Because humility says, I'll do what you want to go to heaven, not do what Mike wants. And I will say this to you. I battle pride like everybody else every day. It's not going away. Pastor, we'll cast it out. Yeah, you can cast it about 2 or 3 inches and it'll still be holding on. It's not going anywhere. It only flees when we submit to God.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.